Hey, football fans, for those of you who can't get enough Baldy's breakdowns, be sure to subscribe to Brian Baldinger's The Best Football Show. New episodes drop Monday through Friday, where Baldy breaks down the best games of the week. Be sure to subscribe to The Best Football Show on the Odyssey app or wherever you find your podcasts.
Kale and Company, weekday mornings, 6 till 10.
Mr. President, good morning. How are you, sir?
Well, we're doing very well. It's my birthday eve, and I'm turning 23 tomorrow. We're very happy about it. And actually, we're not 23, because then the left is going to take me off the ballot, say he's too young to be president. You know, I'm, quite frankly, you said I'm the 45th, hopefully the 47th, but you left out a few adjectives. How about favorite president, most handsome president? Outlaw president. Everybody outlaw. Knows that, too. The outlaw. We're the outlaw. Your choice is very simple in 2024. You could either vote for me, the outlaw president, or Crooked Joe, the Pampers president. We understand what he is. He's the Pampers president. And we are 14 days where that's it. We're 2 weeks. We're 2 weeks away from the debate. And I know he's going to poop. So we're going to come here with a mask. We're going to have a huge thing. And at some point in time, we're going to invoke, just like the people in Normandy, we're going to invoke Lynyrd Skynyrd. That smell. Can't you smell that smell? What the hell is that? The smell of it surrounds you. You understand that? And we're saying, what is this? This is poop. What's happening here? And Jake Tapper is probably not going to let me say that because he's the moderator, CNN debate, fake news. But we're going to do it anyway. But we're having a very good time. Tomorrow's my birthday. It's also Flag Day, which is not a coincidence. It happened on purpose. And we're going to do very well. And we are looking to do well. Pennsylvania looks tremendous. And you're also doing a fantastic job. Believe me, you're doing very well.
Thank you very much, Mr. President. Donald Trump is joining us. I want to get your thoughts right out of the gate here. Hunter Biden, the guilty verdict. They debated and deliberated for about 3 hours total over the course of 2 days. And they convicted him on all three counts. Your thoughts on Hunter Biden, now also a convicted felon?
Well, they got him on the wrong charges. I can tell you that. They got him on the wrong charges. You want to say that he lied on a background check form? That's fine. But what the court actually proved is that Hunter Biden is not just a convicted felon, but he's also a convicted crackhead. You see this? The only reason why he has the conviction in the first place is because he was doing drugs and he was filling out the form and he lied. And this is something that happens with Crooked Joe. He lies a lot. I can tell you that. And the entire Biden family, they lie a lot. Crooked Joe says he's not going to pardon Hunter. He says he's not going to do it. But he's also said a lot of other things, if you could remember. He says that he was, this is Crooked Joe, by the way, raised in the Jewish synagogues of the Puerto Rican community, marching with Nelson Mandela. Could you believe that? He marched with Nelson and he got arrested with Nelson. Nelson Mandela, he also represented Greeks in a tractor trailer driving it over the bridge in Maryland with no rail lines while sitting on an Amtrak train searching for his Uncle Brozy, who was eaten by cannibals, when everybody knows Uncle Brozy was eaten by Stacey Abrams. Everybody knows that. And so, you know, this is not breaking. This is not breaking news. That's Sleepy Joe Biden and the Biden's lie. So I would anticipate seeing convicted crackhead Hunter Biden pardoned or commuted or something, because he wouldn't last a day. I can tell you that he wouldn't last a day. And I would last a lot of days if they put me in jail. I'd last a lot of days. We would have in the jail if they put me there. I would teach everybody to have the strongest hands in the history of the world. I've got big, beautiful hands, and we're going to make sure nobody drops that soap in my cell block. Oh, no. It's not going to happen. We're going to keep everybody safe. Hunter wouldn't last a day, but I would do very well. That much I can tell you.
Speaking of Hunter Biden and you possibly winning re-election, if you did, would you yourself pardon Hunter Biden? And a lot of people are discussing that as a political strategy and that it would come off well to America. Is that something that you would consider, Mr. President?
No, we're not going to do that. No, we're never going to do that. We're not going to pardon Hunter. We're going to let him sit. We're going to see what happens. And maybe down the road we could feel sorry, but it's if he's in jail. We're not going to. He's probably not going. Let's be honest. He's probably not going to jail. Although Crooked Joe is such a bad father, he'd probably let him go to jail. You know that? If that was my son, I would say this right now. If that was my son, I'd pardon him in a heartbeat because I take care of my family. Crooked Joe hates his kid. You know, he hates Hunter. He does. He hates him because he's a liability. Look at the laptop from hell. It almost, and it should have cost him 2020, but that was rigged and a scam. But you see what's happening with Hunter. Crooked Joe hates him. He's a liability. It would be better off, probably, if Hunter was in jail in solitary, like the January 6th hostages. If he was in jail and they kept him quiet and all of a sudden that problem solves itself, Crooked Joe doesn't want him out. Crooked Joe wants him in. And that's why he probably is going to suggest jail time, say, look, the system is fair. No, Crooked Joe wants that liability. It's like insurance. They put him in solitary. Now Hunter can't hurt you. So Crooked Joe hates him. He's a terrible father. I could say that. He's a horrible father. A lot of people will call him a deadbeat dad. Father's Day is coming. He's not celebrating. He's a deadbeat. And Crooked Joe is the dad joke. He's the joke of all dads. He's a terrible person. I would have helped any of my family members if they were in this problem. And I'm not ashamed to say that. Crooked Joe is a horrible father and a horrible president. And that's why his son might rot in prison. And he's probably going to like it. I can tell you that.
Donald Trump is joining us here on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT. I want to stay here locally in Pennsylvania. A couple of polling numbers. Pennsylvania voters, 49% agree with your conviction, but still will vote for you, and you still lead in the polls by 2 points over Joe. And also a Pennsylvania poll on comparing presidencies between you and your rival Joe Biden, where the question was, were you and your family better off under Donald Trump or Joe Biden as a Pennsylvania resident? 53% say they were better off with you. 44% say Joe Biden. I got to imagine you're feeling pretty good, pretty comfortable right now about where you stand here in the state of Pennsylvania.
Well, we're very happy with Pennsylvania. We do very well there. We did very well the first time. We did very well the second time. And a lot of things happened that shouldn't have happened. And they're not going to happen again. And we're not going to let it happen. But we're very happy with Pennsylvania. Look at the numbers. Now, there are people who agree with the conviction. I don't know what the hell's going on there. But if they vote for me, that's all that counts. Whether they think I'm guilty or not guilty, or it's rigged or a scam or not, a vote is a vote. And we're very happy with those votes. And we have the great Scott Pressler. He's in Bucks County. He's about to flip it. It's incredible. He's about to flip it. The registered Republicans are catching up. They're doing very well. And a lot of people in Pennsylvania understand. You see, Philadelphia, a lot of people think I'm not popular in Philly because they booed. They booed all over the place, but they boo everybody. And they boo the people that they like the most. You know, you could just ask the Eagles, who John Fetterman says are better than the Eagles. And he just got into a car accident. And we're very happy that he's doing okay. Yeah. Got into a car accident. You know, everybody thought that John Fetterman's term as a senator was going to be a train wreck. And it actually hasn't been so bad ever since we stopped hearing from that crazy wife of his. You know, we stopped hearing from her all of a sudden. John Fetterman's making sense. It's like he got smarter after the stroke, but it wasn't the stroke. It was when he put her away, he got a lot smarter. So we're very happy about that. She's woke and crazy, and he used to be woke and crazy. Now he's just less woke and a little less crazy. You see, Pennsylvania, we're doing very well in Pennsylvania. We're going to do very well there. A lot of people are doing a great job. You're doing a great job, and we're very excited about Pennsylvania, the Keystone State. It's a great state. We do very well.
Let's get to the border. More drama at the southern border. A lot of window dressing in the last week, but the reality is the border is still a crisis. And now this past week, the last few days, we've got this story about ISIS infiltrating America through the southern border. They've been found in Los Angeles, in New York, and here in Philadelphia. I mean, point blank period, Mr. President, this doesn't happen if you're still in office.
When I was your president, we had no ISIS. When I was your president, we took care of ISIS. Remember, on one evening, we had a very good time. And the next day at a press conference, we had an even better time. We took out the founder and leader of ISIS, Abu Bakr al-Baghdadi. And we said, and we told the entire world, everybody knows it, he died like a dog, and not a beautiful dog. He died like a horrible dog. He died a worse death, quite frankly, than Kristi Noem's dog. Oh, and we're probably not supposed to say that, but we said it. And we could have sent him to Christie's house and said, here's a dog. She would have shot him. It would have been great. Would have been very quick. Probably would have been painless, but you look at it, and we like Kristi Noem, but she shouldn't have done that. Let's be honest. She shouldn't have done that. But we took them out, and we took out ISIS. We cleaned it up. Now they're in our country because the border's wide open, because Crooked Joe is, he doesn't care. He wants people to get hurt. He's going to hurt people. These are bad hombres that are coming across, and some of them aren't even hombres. They're other words, but these are bad people. These are sick people. These are drug dealers and criminals and rapists and thugs and gang leaders and terrible people that are coming across. These are not beautiful people. These are terrible people. When I was your president, anybody who crossed, even if they were illegal, was a beautiful person. We only let the nice people in. We didn't let bad people in. Crooked Joe is letting the bad people. These are bad, sick hombres that are coming in, and we have to fix it, and we're going to fix it. Beautiful wall is going to be built. It's going to be tremendous. And Mexico's still going to pay for it. A lot of people don't realize that they're still going to pay. We're going to make them pay, believe me.
Donald Trump joining us here, as he does every week, on Kale & Company. Speaking of Crooked Joe Biden, I'm not sure what I witnessed this past week for a Juneteenth concert. And it's not even Juneteenth. It was like June 11th, as everybody is dancing and Joe is frozen. I've seen you dance at rallies. You can break it down and bust a move on stage. Yet, yeah, Joe, Kamala, Doug Emhoff, they were dancing at this Juneteenth concert. The big guy looked frozen. He was hardly moving. Why is it that Joe seems so uncomfortable in a black crowd, which is really remarkable because he claims he was raised in the black church? Yet, Mr. Trump, you roll into the Bronx and you fit right in.
Well, you know, the street loves me. You know, I have a lot of what's called street cred. We're very popular in what a lot of people call the hood. We love the hood. They're fantastic people. Hood rats for Trump. We love that. There's a lot of people who love doing that, too. And you look at this. Crooked Joe in a black crowd, it's really terrible. You know, you look at him. He was frozen. And you talk about my moves. I have great moves. They say that Donald Trump could really cut a rug. He cuts the rug. It's incredible. He's doing a fantastic job. Joe Biden was there. He wasn't cutting the rug. He was cutting the cheese. You saw that. He was, you know, slipping one. He was doing what the great George Carlin, a lot of other people call the one cheek sneak. That's what was happening. He was trying to make sure nobody heard it. And the guy next to him, you could see the guy next to him, who a lot of people say that was George Floyd's brother. I'm not sure about that, but I heard a lot of people say it. That's what a lot of people are telling me. The guy next to him, after Joe did a one cheek sneak, he leaned over and he said, "Was that you, Joe?" And Joe leans over and gives him a pound and says, "That was me. Was that a good one? Was that a bad one?" So you see, he's cutting the cheese when everybody else is cutting the rug. This guy's a terrible person, and we're going to beat him, and we're going to beat him bigly. It's going to be incredible.
I'm going to have to steal that from you, Mr. President, because Jason Kelsey retired, so I'm not sure that the Eagles can do the tush push, but maybe the one-cheek sneak will be the thing this year that gets us to the Super Bowl. Donald Trump joining us. Speaking of competition, nothing more American on the 4th of July than the Nathan's Hot Dog Eating Contest, and Joey Chestnut, who is now gone vegan, he's taken a page out of the Greg Stocker playbook, has been disqualified. Do you have any recommendations or suggestions on maybe who could fill the void of Mr. Chestnut?
Well, there's not a lot of people who know what happened. So the vegan hot dogs, that's what he did. He ate the, he's eating the plant-based meat, which is ridiculous. Quite frankly, it's disgusting. But you look at it, Joey Chestnut, and we said this a long time ago, you know, we're way ahead of it. We're always way ahead of it. Trump's the dumbest. It's incredible. But think about this, okay? We said it a long time ago, a couple of months. It was still winter. It was still very cold, colder than the courtroom in New York City that was kept warm by the walrus. That's Alvin Bragg. I call him the walrus, cuckoo, cuckoo. You know, he's got the thunder thighs. He was rubbing them. It kept the courtroom very warm. That's what set the guy on fire, too. A lot of friction, and he went right up in flames. Terrible. But you see what happened with Joey Chestnut, and I knew him well, and I used to think he was a great person. Now I don't think so. But he was actually defeated. He didn't want to compete. It's not about vegan hot dogs. He didn't want to compete. There's a new Nathan's Hot Dog Eating Champion, and we told you who it was. It's Fannie Willis, okay? It's Fannie Willis because she had Nathan Wade, and I can tell you this, and a lot of other people could tell you this too. Fannie could probably tell you this too. Nobody eats Nathan's Hot Dog like Fannie Willis, and she's done it a lot from what I understand. And she learned a trick or two from Nikki Haley in the Escalade. We know what's happening there, too. The Escapade. It's called the Escapade in the Escalade. But and we don't want to talk about it. But Fannie Willis, the new Nathan's Hot Dog Eating Champion. That's why Joey Chestnut is gone. So Fat Fannie, Frumpy Fannie, whatever you want to call her, is the new Nathan's Hot Dog Eating Champion. Joey Chestnut rides off into the sunset with his vegan hot dogs. He's finally been defeated. by a district attorney from Fulton County, a crooked one, might I add, who's getting removed. But Fannie Willis, that's what happened. The new Nathan's hot dog eating champion. We told you that was coming. Right about everything yet again.
Mr. Trump, last one for you. As I know, you've got a very busy schedule. I'll be playing one of your courses on one of your properties tomorrow here in Philadelphia, Trump National, just across the bridge in New Jersey. I know it's your birthday. It's Flag Day. I'm going to be playing your course. Any tips on having a good round on Friday afternoon?
Well, here's the first tip, because I heard something about you. You sprained your ankle playing golf one time.
I did, yes, sir.
And let's not do that again. It's very hard to do that. I've never done that. Yeah. It's incredible. I've never done that. But let's not do that. But you know that I'm very good at golf, and I almost invented the sport. As a matter of fact, I did very well with Scotland. They're very good people. The kilt, yeah. They wanted me to wear one. I said, we're not going to do it. But I'm thinking maybe I'll do it, and then we can identify as a woman and be the first trans president to drive people crazy. We're not going to do that. We're not going to do that. But you have golf, and I do very well with golf. As a matter of fact, you know, the great Tiger Woods, I'm the one who taught him how to golf and gave him his name. He was born. His name was Eldrick. You understand that? I said, that's not going to work. I said, we're going to call him Tiger, and we're going to have a great golfer. I taught him everything. And I've done this before. You know, I got along very well with Egypt, you know, the great ancient Egypt, the Pharaoh. They call him Pharaoh. I call him King. They had King Tut, King Tutankhamun. His name was King Tutankhamun. And I said to these people, they were going to call him King Tut. I said, you don't want to do that. You want to call him King Tut. That sounds tougher. That sounds stronger. They were going to call him King Tut. I said, we already have a King Tut. His name is Crooked Joe. He's a King Tut. And we also have, because he goes in toots, he does tootin' with Putin. We also have Prince Tut. You know, Prince Tut, Eric Swalwell. I call him his flatulence. He ripped one. He ripped one on live television. But the Egyptians were going to call him King Tut. I said, you can't do that. Nobody's going to take him seriously. You can't do that. You want to be King Tut, King Tut. And they said, oh, that's a fantastic thing. And so that's why he's King Tut and not King Tut. That's why Tiger Woods is Tiger and not Eldrick. And I know a lot about golf. I know a lot about a lot when you look at it. Nobody knows more than I do. So I wish you the greatest round of golf, Trump Philadelphia. Do very well. Walking boot, maybe. Keep that ankle safe. But you're doing a tremendous job. And I think you're going to have a fantastic round. I think you will.
Yeah. All right. Thank you very much. Woo. Donald J. Trump joining us
love
here
you.
On Kale and Company. That is our buddy Sean Farish. Sean, let's have you stick around, come back, kick off the 9 o'clock hour. I want to get your thoughts on all of the issues that have broken out this week and get your own personal opinion. We'll do that as we continue. A lot of interesting opinions about, you know, smoke screens and how the bigger fish to fry is the Biden crime family, a lot of which I agree with. But I was a little surprised to see so many people, conservative social media influencers, so to speak, on Tuesday when the verdict came in, where basically people were yawning and like, oh, this is not that big of a deal. Wake me up, blah, blah, blah. And I'm thinking, well, if Hunter Biden would have been acquitted, we all would have been shouting from the mountaintop. So what is your opinion on what happened, the way it played out, and where we are moving forward with not only the Bidens, but the Trump situation with all these cases and all the lawfare?
Well, I think the reason why a lot of people were yawning isn't necessarily that, you know, maybe they thought he wasn't guilty. Obviously, Hunter was guilty of lying on the federal background check form, you know, for firearms. And, you know, there's also a lot of conservatives who think that that form and that process in and of itself is, you know, a violation or an infringement on the Second Amendment. So, you know, I think a lot of people were like, well, if this is what we're going after Hunter for, when all this other stuff is on the laptop, you know, detailing all the crimes, if you want to call it that, bad misconduct and shady business dealings and corruption. Mm-hmm. But we're only going to go after him for the gun stuff. You know, I think that's why people were less than pleased. You know, obviously, I believe Hunter is guilty of what he's been accused of here, lying on the background check form. And the silver lining for me was, well, now we know that the laptop, because it was used as evidence in a federal court case against Hunter Biden, now we know the laptop is legitimate. So why don't we go back into that laptop and look into the 10% for the big guy texts and phone calls and shady business meetings with Ukrainian energy companies and CEFC over in China and all of these other things. And here's the part that really, I think, kind of shows you where these cases are going with Hunter. They got him on the gun stuff. It gives the left the opportunity to say, look, the system is fair. Everything's good. You know, we go after our own. Nobody's above the law, right? That gives them the opportunity to say that. Meanwhile, the real damning evidence and the real material that's bad for Hunter and the rest of the Bidens is sitting on that laptop. And the only reason why federal prosecutors, the Department of Justice, et cetera, is not going into all of that is because not because it implicates Joe Biden, but because it directly implicates Barack Obama. And that's all this is here to save, right? So Spygate, the cleanup operation after the dossier and all that went through, that was a cleanup operation to protect Barack Obama. It wasn't to protect Hillary. It wasn't to protect anybody else. It was to protect Obama, who Peter Stroke, Lisa Page, those texts told you he knew about everything that was going on. Remember the text, POTUS wants to know everything that we're doing, right? He was in the loop in this Ukraine situation with the Burisma board, Hunter Biden on the board, the prosecutor that's looking into Burisma. Joe Biden shuts that down. No one's going to look into that because it implicates Barack Obama. And Joe Biden even told you that in that clip where he's bragging on stage. I told them they got 6 hours or they're not getting the billion. And the Ukrainian president said, you can't do that. You're not the president. And I said, call him. Meaning if he put Barack Obama on the phone in that meeting, Obama would have said, yeah, Joe Biden has the right and he's doing the right thing to hold that $1 billion over your head. He knew all about it. And anything that threatens the left's sacred cow, their golden calf, Barack Obama, they're not going to touch. And so I think that's why a lot of people were upset. Not that Hunter Biden was found guilty here, because it's the correct finding. It's the correct ruling. It's the correct verdict. He lied on the background check form, said he wasn't addicted to drugs. He was smoking crack every day of the week and twice on Sunday. Everybody knows that because of the laptop and the pictures. But there, people are saying, well, if you're going to use the laptop and pictures to go after him for, you know, a clerical error for all intents and purposes and a lie on a background check form, then we should probably use the laptop, which you're all authenticating now, to go after the real corruption that's on there. And they're not going to touch it. That's why I think people are kind of yawning at this verdict, because A, Joe Biden can pardon him, and everyone's like, oh, well, he said he wouldn't, right? But he said all those other things that we went through over there in the previous segment. You know, and it's not the corruption, it's not the crime, it's not the stuff that we want to see action taken on. You know, I want to see the corruption addressed, not, you know, gun forms, yep, right? But now the left has the ability to say, look, the system's fair. You know, we went after one of our own. So I think it is a smokescreen, 100%. I think it's a smokescreen.
Sean Farish with us. Want to get your thoughts on a story we talked about earlier this morning, Politico, with a story out talking about, you know, the way America and registered voters view Kamala Harris as a potential presidential candidate replacing Joe Biden at some point. And one of the damning numbers is she's actually polling lower than Joe is from a favorability standpoint, 42% to Joe's 43. And we know Joe is now at an all-time low net approval rating of 37%. And I threw out the idea that Joe will run, Joe will be the nominee, and in the event Joe Biden wins, I could see a scenario where Joe passes off the baton to Kamala very early in the second term, maybe even in 2025, year number one. Could you see that happening? Could that be a plot that the Democrats have? Because we've talked a ton about Gavin Newsom. The Michelle Obama thing has been put to rest. Do you think that's in play? And where are you at with the concept of a switch later this summer?
Well, I thought that's what was going to happen in the first term, to be honest with you. I thought Biden was going to, you know, if he won, he was going to pass some sort of meaningful legislation that, you know, checked off a few ESG, DEI boxes, and then, you know, right off into the sunset and give it to Kamala Harris. But she's so unlikable. I think the Democrats knew that if they just keep Joe in place and, you know, even make him almost a sympathetic figure, you know, he's just an old man. It's Grandpa Joe. You know, ha ha. He fell down again. How cool. Oh, wow. The Vatican. You know, he probably shouldn't have crapped himself, but that's funny. You know, your grandpa does it too, right? You know, so I thought that was going to happen in the first term. So I could definitely see it happening in the second term, especially like all the stuff that's going on with Joe now, you know, where he's like, he's getting lost more frequently and it's like more obvious right? I mean, the scene outside that Juneteenth thing, I don't know what happened there. I mean, maybe he was doing a one-cheek sneak. I have no idea. But he was literally frozen. I mean, like, it frozen. Like, Madame Tussauds style, like, wax figure. It was insane. So, you know, so this guy's not going to make it through another 4 years. But here's your problem. The Democrats have a likability issue. And the world hasn't even, like, the country hasn't even been fully exposed to Kamala Harris yet, right? So they would be smart to keep her under wraps until after the election and then make the switch, because there's nothing anybody can do about it. If it happens beforehand, she's going to get cooked. It's going to be complete, I mean, bad, right, with Kamala. So, but I could see him passing the baton if he wins again. I thought he was going to do that in the first term. So I would say it's even more likely now in the second term.
I want to get your thoughts.
If he wins. And I don't want him to win, obviously. I don't think he's going to win. But if he does, I could see it happen.
Gotcha. Well, I want to get your thoughts on the vice president watch for Donald Trump. I know you're a big J.D. Vance guy. The New York Post with a story today with not one, not two, not three, but four different sources saying that Tim Scott is fallen down the list. He's still on the short list. He's still technically, quote, top five, according to the story. But the presumptive front runner for many months, a lot of people thought was Tim Scott. We know that list has come out of Trump requesting financial records and documents. Right now, do you think that this is, if this report is true, is this now a two-horse race between J.D. Vance and Marco Rubio?
I think it's more than two horses, but I would certainly hope J.D. Vance is up towards the front of that crowd. You know, I think Vance is somebody, and I think I've said this before, I think he's somebody, it's interesting, right, with this, and I see people kind of trying to do oppo on him, right? Oh, he said Donald Trump was Hitler, and he called him a Nazi. Like, I know that J.D. Vance used to hate Donald Trump. I know that. But I'm not, that's okay to me, right? Because he came around, and he's doing a really good job now, which shows me that this is somebody who listens and keeps an open mind and has a level head and makes good decisions after realizing potentially that they may have made a bad decision, right? It also, for me, on if you put him on the ticket, as an ability to he has an ability to campaign to say to people who don't like Trump, hey, I was like that once. I was where you are, you know, where you are at today. That was me 6 or 7 years ago. I used to hate the guy. Here's what helped me. And you can actually bring people in to the fold that way with a guy like Vance. You know, I think age, people knock him for his age. What is he, 39 years old? Mm-hmm. That's not a bad thing. This is not, we're dealing with two presidents who are in their upper 70s or low 80s. I mean, this is not a bad thing that your potential, you know, torch carrier after the fact is a younger man. You know, it's also not bad that he's, you know, from the business world, served the country, right? He's got a great story, American dream. And it's also not a bad thing that he hasn't been in DC for a long time, right? Because it's less time to be compromised. Mm-hmm. I don't want some establishment person. I don't want a Rubio or a Scott. You know, I don't want an Elise Stefanik. I think she's great in some aspects. She's a great fundraiser. But I don't want somebody who's been entrenched for a long time. I want a guy like a Vance or a Vivek to be high up in this administration, you know, to keep that outsider vibe so that the influence of the swamp and the deep state is kind of cut off at the door. So that's why Vance is my guy. I certainly hope he's, you know, at the top of the short list. And we'll see what happens. I don't want a guy like Rubio. I don't want a guy like Scott. I mean, am I going to vote for Trump if he chooses them? Of course, right? Because I'm obviously not going to let Joe Biden win. But I want, and this is only if Donald Trump is thinking in these terms, right?
Sure.
Is his vice president the heir apparent, right? If not, if it's just Rubio is going to be in there because he wants to put Rubio in there, or Tim Scott in there because, you know, whatever, he likes Tim Scott. He's worked well with him on opportunity zones, his first administration, whatever you want to do, you know. Fine. I look at it saying your VP in this term might be your heir apparent. And I want it to be a guy younger, more in tune with where, you know, MAGA is now, like J.D. Vance versus a Scott or a Rubio.
Final one, Sean Farris joining us as he does every week. We are now officially 2 weeks out from the debate, 14 days from tonight, June 27th, Trump and Biden as currently scheduled. Greg Stocker would say in the promotion business, cards subject to change, right? Like the wrestling pay-per-view, the matches might actually change before we get to fight night. Do you think this is actually going to go off as scheduled, or could something pop up here in the next 2 weeks?
I think it's going to go off. I think the Democrats want to basically wind up Joe and put him out on stage and see what happens, right? They're obviously going to cook up a good cocktail for him. Hopefully keeps him awake the entire time. But I think this is kind of his sink or swim moment. Now, look, it's June 27th is the debate. 7 days after that, I think, is the 4th of July, which would mark the one-year anniversary of when they found cocaine in the White House. So I wouldn't doubt them finding more of it to get him prepped for this, prepped for this debate. Hunter has to stay clean right now, apparently, with the court order and all that stuff. So if we do find it, it's definitely Joe's. And I think they're going to have to use something strong for this debate. But I do think it's going to go off. I do. And I'm interested to see if Joe Biden comes at Trump with the convicted felon line. Does Trump come back at Joe with, the Hunter's a convicted felon thing? And are they going to be able to hit that point? Hit the laptop if I'm Trump, now that the laptop has been, used as evidence.
Oh, yeah.
Hit it and say there's a whole hell of a lot more there. But I do think it's going to happen. I do think the debate's going to happen. And I think this is going to be part of, like, did they give Joe enough rope to hang himself, essentially? And we'll see. But I think the debate's definitely going to happen. I'm excited for it. I know I'll be watching it. And there'll probably be popcorn. So we'll see. I'm excited for it, though. I definitely think it's going to happen. I do think it's going to happen.
Sean, did you see the video of Biden at the Juneteenth celebration where he's drinking that orange drink?
I didn't see the orange drink. I saw the frozen video. I didn't know he was drinking orange drink.
We were speculating what was in that orange drink. There was a lot of talk about maybe Metamucil or maybe some sort of cocktail or something that, kept him awake.
Well, hopefully it wasn't Dulcolax because he seems to have no problem doing that. So.
Yeah.
But I don't know. Maybe it was one of those like Imodium, one of those like that stops you up for a couple of days. Maybe that was what was in there. They can't, because he's been on like a pooping spree. Like he's like carpet bombing everywhere he goes.
He really
so,
is.
Like every time, he's Normandy. Then there was like at the White House, he froze and made the I'm pooping face. It's getting kind of scary, so I don't know. Maybe they're trying to seal the dam there for a little bit. Like, hey, the Hershey Highway is seen enough, Joe.
Yep.
I'm from Pennsylvania. Yeah, Hershey. I built it. Talk to Trader Chocolate. Yeah, like no. Shh. I don't know what was in there. Maybe something to perk him up. It didn't work.
No,
if he was drinking the orange drink before the freeze, that's Joe Biden, by the way, doing a Mitch McConnell impersonation where he just freezes. But yeah, seriously, it's true.
Yeah.
It didn't work. If that was beforehand, it didn't work. Made him. They got the dosage wrong. It looks like
William Warner on the YouTube chat says Adderall. Maybe there was Adderall on there.
I think it's a lot stronger than Adderall. Maybe that's all that was in the orange drink that didn't work. But I can tell you what, before the debate, there's going to be something serious this is a guy who's going to come on. He's not going to last. No wonder why they got to sit at a table.
Yeah, exactly.
It's just ridiculous.
Double up the deep end.
Can you imagine?
That's right. Yep. The Pampers president. The Pampers president.
Great stuff as always, brother. Sean. Thank you very much. Sean Farish.
Thanks, guys.
We'll
You're
chat very soon. There he is, You're Sean Farish.
Start your day with Kale and Company, weekday mornings 6 till 10 on Talk Radio 1210, WPHT, and the free Odyssey app.